On today's Compassion Radio.
And you have to understand that this was the first century church. They had no Bibles. They had no commentaries. They had no concordances.
They had no broadcast. They had no podcast. They had no internet.
They had some apostles that had actually known him. They had some believers now who had heard him speak. But this was really putting your life on the line with a whole lot of faith and what had happened in their hearts.
Shay, we're back for a second program on the situation that we read about, that we shared with our Compassion Radio friends through our Facebook page. The passing of a friend, in fact, an elder of the church, of the kingdom of God on this earth. One of the great ones, and one that probably not many people ever got to meet or even were aware of until they heard of a certain book about mission adventure called Through Gates of Splendor, or saw the movie The End of the Spear, or learned the story by the mythology that grew up around it in the church over the years. But the five missionaries that came down from North America to try to make first contact with tribes in the western end of the Amazon, just outside of the white person's control up in the Andes, it was a big, big deal back in the 1950s when they laid down their lives for the gospel and seemed to be failures because they never accomplished their goal. They never reached them with the gospel, never won a soul to Jesus, but lay down their lives on a sandbar.
I think it would help, Bram, for those who don't know the story, if I read some of what Steve Saint sent out as the announcement about Menkai's death.
Go ahead.
He said he was born into a violent Stone Age culture in the Amazon rainforest of eastern Ecuador. Menkai, whose name means wasp, died April 28th, 2020, at home in a tiny village, died of natural causes related to old age. He was between 88 and 91. They don't keep score quite the way we do. Menkai is survived by his wife, 13 children, 50-some grandchildren, many, many great-grandchildren, and tens of thousands of people who saw him as proof of God's redeeming and transforming power. When Grandfather Menkai, as we affectionately knew him, helped five other Wodani warriors spear my father, Nate Saint, and Jim Elliott, Pete Fleming, Roger Udarian, and Ed McCauley to death on a river sandbar in 1956, there was no reason to believe anyone outside of his small clan and the five bereaved families would ever take note of what happened. Nevertheless, millions of people in Northern America and Europe followed radio news releases that five North American missionaries were missing in the Ecuadorian jungle. For most of a week, there was no word of their fate. When a search party finally found their five spear-ridden bodies, the question was, why? The term tragedy accompanied virtually every radio, newspaper, and magazine article as the news of these vicious and seemingly senseless killings spread. But 64 long years later, it seems clear that Genesis 15:20 was about to come true again. What man meant for evil, God meant for good. There has been no greater ambassador of that message than the life of Grandfather Wasp. Menkai is also the main character in the feature film End of the Spear. When the book and the movie became available, Menkai traveled around the United States and Canada telling his life story. This amazing jungle warrior, who counted up to 20 on his fingers and toes, personally impacted hundreds of thousands of people in audiences as large as 45,000. The movie in which his life plays the leading role has now been translated into mother tongues of approximately one quarter of the world's population. Menkai's most frequent speaking theme was, "We lived angry, hating and killing for no reason, until they brought us God's markings. Now those of us who walk God's trail live happily and in peace." Then he would often ask, "How long did you have God's markings before you brought them to us? Maybe if we had known sooner that the Creator did not see it well that people should live angry, hating and killing for no reason, we could have walked God's trail sooner." There are people who question the motives of the five missionaries who made contact with the Wodani. There are some who question Menkai's motives in participating in 10 speaking tours to the U.S. and Canada, trips to Europe, Panama, and even India. I can only answer that I was Minkaye's traveling companion on all of those trips. We traveled together, ate together, shared the same room, and spoke together. I have known Minkaye since I was a little boy, when he took me under his wing and had his sons teach me how to blowgun hunt. He was one of my dearest friends in the world. Yes, he killed my father, but he loved me and my family. One of my grandsons is named Minkaye. We will miss you, Mémé Minkaye, but we hold on to the certain hope that we will see you soon. Written by Steve Saint.
The word tragedy came up in the letter and also came up in a lot of the reporting about what happened back in the 50s. But there's a greater tragedy, I'm afraid, is about to happen. If we don't take Steve Saint's words seriously here, there is not just redemption in that story, but there's compassion. This man considers the murderer of his own father to be a father to him. That can only happen because of Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
And we would be so foolish to pass over this story as something that's just a tender footnote to something that was more important that happened 50 years ago. Those five men went straight to heaven. They're with Jesus. They have no worries. Minkaye has dozens of children and dozens of great-grandchildren that know Jesus now because of that event. That is the story.
And a young boy who could have been bitter and angry with God, with the tribe, with his mother for taking him back there, for all kinds of reasons, has given his life. He's only here in the States these last few years because he's so ill.
Yeah.
But he has spent his life giving back to this tribe that took away his father.
We don't need to go into a lot of details about it, but the Saint family has known a lot of tragedy.
Mm-hmm.
You don't hear that in this letter, but Steve himself was incapacitated with a freak accident in his own workshop when a wing of an airplane crushed his back and left him partially paralyzed in all four limbs where he can't really function very well. And it's affected his voice now. He's weakening. He was very frank about his worries about his work going on when it happened back in the 90s. But he's never wavered in his commitment to live the life that God gave him.
Mm-hmm.
And then sometime later, one of his granddaughters mysteriously and suddenly died. And that was a crushing blow to them.
Well, and you think what all happened to the Elliott family as well. Elizabeth has had tragedy after tragedy in her life and yet never, ever stopped ministering to other people, going back and back and back to the field.
And this is not to say that some people just seem to attract tragedy. That's not the point. It's that there's something about the caliber of people that was tested and proven to be pure as gold that is something to be reckoned with. It could have been anybody in any tragedy, but these particular people experienced it, and they were willing to stay accountable to the kingdom of God and open and honest to their friends, to the world, about the faith that resides within them. They gave account of it. Like Paul says to Timothy, let no one drive you down. But whenever you have the opportunity, give an account for the hope that's in you. There's hope all over these people's lives, and they are glad to give account of it. And if anything, for me, the challenge of that is we don't need to pretend that we are these people or feel bad that we are not. We simply need to learn what we can and emulate, as God allows us to, the kind of commitment and the living faith that they showed. And if we have had any experience whatsoever of that living faith, ask God to reveal it to us. He promises if we ask him for real life, for real hope in Jesus, he'll give it to us. Some people talk about that being getting saved or praying a prayer of salvation. That's a beginning point.
Mm-hmm.
But we're talking about lives lived that were obedient. And Minkaye, as being a father, a grandfather of the church, the kingdom of God around the world, should be honored by every fellowship on this planet because he helped build this kingdom, and he was faithful to the very end. One who had no reason under the laws of men or morality to have any chance to even walk in a church, nonetheless became one of the cornerstones. Friends, the gospel has always been a very personal story because if it's real, it's being written on our hearts. We'll be back in a moment to share more about the powerful faith that lived in the hearts of Steve Saint and the new spiritual father he found in the man who murdered his dad. Please know that we deeply appreciate and value you. You, your prayers, your support, and friendship, especially in immensely challenging times like these, are what keeps us going. Thank you. This unusual media ministry that we are, bringing you the frontline kingdom news you probably won't hear much about anywhere else, Your courage and faithful giving keep us on the air, in the arena, standing with you to help the kingdom keep growing in the 21st century. Here's how. Just visit our website, CompassionRadio.com, or call our toll-free order line, 1-800-868-2478. Our mailing address is Compassion Radio, P.O. Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. Reach out to us whatever way works for you. We can't do this work any other way than with you. And know this, your gift is deeply appreciated. Thank you for loving us in this way. Some people talk about getting saved or praying a prayer of salvation. That's a beginning point. Mm-hmm. But we're talking about lives lived that were obedient. And Minkai, as being a father, a grandfather of the church, the kingdom of God around the world, should be honored by every fellowship on this planet because he helped build this kingdom. And he was faithful to the very end. One who had no reason under the laws of man or morality to have any chance to even walk in a church, nonetheless became one of the cornerstones.
And there's no age limit on beginning this whole kind of a process.
That's the truth.
It starts with offering your life to the Lord for whatever he wants from you, then hearing a call and being willing, no matter what stage you're in, to follow that call, and then to give everything, your life, your belongings, your anything, to fulfill that call. Now, all of these guys had the call before they were married.
Mm-hmm.
It took so long for this to be able to come to completion that by the time they were ready to go, they did have families. They all could have said, well, you know, this would have been cool before we got married, but we've got wives now to support, and we've got little kids.
I could have shied back from that anymore.
We can't take this kind of a risk. This is crazy.
All the stories from the wives of those missionaries all told or gave account of the same kind of thing. The minute we met these men, they were all about the mission.
Mm-hmm.
We bought in, and we married the mission as much as we married our husbands. They were all in. And not one of those five stepped back and said, nah, I can't go there. They went on to different things and different ways of ministering later in life, and some of them were more intrepid to go back to the Wadani directly. But there wasn't any of the wives and their families that stepped away from faith or in trusting God's plan and will for their lives and his authority over their lives. They lived it.
Or said, I wish they hadn't done it.
Yeah. Usually the naysayers are the ones that have no skin in the game. Let's go now to the words from Minkai's mouth himself and how Steve interpreted those words in his own language. It's a funny encounter, but it brings to life how much Steve understands the culture and understands his birth culture as well.
Listen very carefully because it's difficult to understand, but you need to hear it in his words.
People, do you know how to walk God's trail? He gave us his markings so that we can see the trail. When the Waurani used to kill each other, they would be separated, but the children would follow their father's markings so that they could find him again. And these are God's markings. He sent his son down here, dripping his blood. He marked the trail. And with that same blood, Grandfather says, Father Creator can wash our hearts clean, like the sky when it has no clouds in it, so we can see this trail. You just have to follow the markings. I teach the people, if you walk your trail, where are you going to end up? Your name is not written there. But he said, but if you walk God's trail, your name is already marked there. And coming there, God has made a place for us to live. It's like he knows when we go into the motel, we have to write our name there to sleep. And he says, your name is already written there at the place that God has made. You don't even have to pay a room rate. No tax. He didn't say that, I was saying. He said, if you're not a coming after one, then maybe you won't understand this. Ask God to clean your heart so that you too can see it.
Graham, I think what's so touching about that, well, one particular thing is about the trail being marked by blood.
Mm-hmm.
Would as many of the tribe have come to faith had it not been for the shed blood of the five? If they had gone in and somehow peacefully made friends, would it have made as much of a difference? would the story of Jesus and his shed blood have resonated with the tribe in the same way as hearing the story about Jesus shedding his blood because of his love and relating that to the five whose blood they shed because they were loved?
Min Kai, he lived the rest of his life with the blood on his hands, but he lived his entire life after hearing the markings of God with the blood covering his heart.
And he lived with the demonstration of forgiveness. Yeah. Not just hearing about God's forgiveness, but seeing
it. Forgiveness came to him. Yeah. It actually lived with him.
Right. The people came and showed him what God's forgiveness is because they forgave.
You know, the apostles, especially Paul, talks about what it means to follow Christ. And Christ himself said, if someone really wants to follow me, pick up their cross and follow me. Where do people with crosses go but to their death? Jesus was making a very big statement about what commitment really means. It's the willingness and the knowledge that my choice and my actions of obedience to him could go against the obedience of something else that has the power to harm me or to kill me. And even if so, I still choose to follow him. Your blood may be shed along the way. The Via Dolorosa was a path of blood. Mm-hmm. Jesus didn't just go to the cross and die there. He was dying all along the way. Mm-hmm. That path, those markings that Min Kai is talking about, is what Jesus laid out literally in front of his disciples on the day of his death. And when Min Kai talks about the fathers of the Wadanis going through the forest, leaving their markings, often they were injured in battle. Some of those markings would have been a blood trail. They already knew how to follow a blood trail in hunting or in following those who were injured and were leading them out of a battle. Every child who would go looking for a parent who was missing would follow a blood trail. This was visceral to them about how God reaches us and how God saves us. Mm-hmm. They understood.
We talk about and we sing the song that we have a new name written down in glory. Min Kai really believes that. His name is there, and when it's his turn to go, he's not going to get turned away because his name is already written.
Yeah.
I love that picture.
Yeah.
What was he picturing at the time that he learned that concept? Because he didn't know about hotels then, as he refers to now.
Yeah. Yeah.
But what concept of heaven did he have to know that when he got there, he was going to be let in because his name was known there?
Well, we've traveled in enough places in the world where if you look at the iconography art of the culture, so many cultures, from desert to jungle to mountains to flatlands, they see a place of paradise, paradiso, which is always a garden, a place of delights where it would feed you.
Mm-hmm.
You would always be safe, and it was someplace you could tend and feel the pleasure of the place, and the beauty of it would be yours to enjoy.
Mm-hmm.
These are the kind of things that people have dreamed of. We're not really trying to get back to Eden, but we do remember it. I think in our very souls, we remember what it was like to be at peace and fruitfulness and plenty.
Yeah,
we long for it.
That original relationship with God
was
built into us. We screwed it up. But God didn't take it away from us.
Didn't take away the desires.
Right.
He left those as a testament to his ability to fulfill and to fill our lives up with good things. As paradoxical as it seems today, we tell tales of suffering sometimes, but we tell them as great joys, not stories of deprivation that need to be stopped. Although we'll do everything we can as God enables us to step in and be elements of God's healing and restoration, because he tells us to do that too. He says, do not stop in binding up the wounds of those, especially the family of faith. Be out there healing and feeding and nursing. Go to the prisons. Go to the widow and the orphan in their distress. That is true faith. That's true religion, as James says. And so those stories, they're part and parcel of what Compassion Radio is, because they're so fun to be able to tell the story of how it actually was done. And of the needs that were met, the people that were reached, and the great stories of gratitude that come from it, we'll keep pursuing those as long as God gives us breath to do that. Because God is still working through his people, like you and me, friends, to do these very things that Min Kai did, and that these men sent from the States to go reach these Wadanis. It's still being done around the world. They may not be coming out of missions agencies so much in America, but they're certainly coming out of the prayer and the fervent uprisings of faith that are happening across South Asia and China and Korea and in Africa. All over the global South and the 1040 belt, there are revivals of mission fervor coming. We are right smack in the middle of the season of Pentecost. There's a lot I want to say between now and the end of this month about what Pentecost means for us. We know the word Pentecost means 50 days. So we think about it being 50 days from the resurrection, boom, something happens. And suddenly people are on fire. There's a lot to this story, which is beautiful. But think of it this way. It takes a while for a crop to grow. Pentecost is the feast of first harvest. It is the early harvest that they celebrated throughout the time from Moses on. This Pentecost event of the church being, as we would say, born, is the first fruits of God's kingdom on this earth, and it took time to grow.
Mm-hmm.
50 days, in fact, between when they said, we're all in, we're not leaving until God says, do something different. God says, stay put, I got something coming for you. They grew in their faith and their patience. On that day of Pentecost, a mighty fruit of God was born and came forth from his believers, his followers, his disciples there in Jerusalem. And because of that, a great harvest of souls happened across that entire city because people heard the gospel for the first time in their own native tongues. Thousands were added to the church in one day.
And you have to understand that this was the first century church. They had no Bibles. They had no commentaries. They had no concordances.
They had no broadcast. They had no podcast. They had no internet.
They had some apostles that had actually known him. They had some believers now who had heard him speak. But this was really putting your life on the line with a whole lot of faith, without very much knowledge except experiential knowledge and what had happened in their hearts.
Yeah, but they were waiting too.
Mm-hmm.
When it burst forth, it was on fire.
And it was fire.
That fire we're going to talk about ties into a couple other serious metaphors, an invitation to those who come to the wedding feast, and has been ever since. There's nobody we know of around the world that's preaching the gospel that's not talking about what God did for them, he can do for you.
Mm-hmm.
And those new believers around the world are reading stories of Pentecost and saying, if God did that for them, can he do it for us? And preachers with faith, great faith, are saying, absolutely. You pray and ask God for what he wants to reveal to you, and he promises he will. And they do the same thing the church in the first century did. They go into retreat. They pray, God, come to us. Show us your ways. And there are many, many stories from many cultures of how God has erupted with power in these people because they asked him for it, because he promised he would. It's not about a Pentecostal thing we're talking mm-hmm. about in the sense of a Western religious culture. It is about the power that was present at the first Pentecost, absolutely being present today in the hearts and lives of those who are willing to say, I will wait on you until you answer me, Lord. And when you do, I will act and I will follow. Everything we are as a church today is a result of those commitments, those mm-hmm. covenants that God made with his people and the people made with their God. We still need to be living a covenantal life of saying, I'm all in. And he's the one that defined the terms of the covenant. But he's always good, and it's always going to seem dangerous, and it's always going to be an adventure.
Mm, that's the word.
Yeah.
We miss the adventure when we don't follow him that way.
And the adventure is not out there somewhere, friends. The adventure is right here. It's right in the middle of being under lockdown in COVID times. It's in the middle of the trepidation of stepping out from your home when you've been locked in for so long, saying, am I safe when I go to the grocery store? I don't know. I don't know how safe it's going to be on the streets for a while, but I do know that if we are wise and we pray and we listen to what God says to do or to not to do, and we ask him for an answer, he will encourage us. He will show us about even something as simple as where to go or not to go, mm-hmm. when to wear a mask and not to wear a mask, because he cares about you. For the days you have left on this earth, no matter how many they are they going to be in praise and honor of the one who made you and gave you the life you have? We have nothing to fear when we're in his hands, and we know, and we've seen it, Chair. The church triumphant is a church that has suffered. It's a church that continues to give, and the church that continues to plant a crop expecting a return. When times are crazy, he's not rattled. Let's live like it's our responsibility and our privilege to be the ones that get to carry this gospel forward and live it out. Thanks for joining us today. I know that we're all facing challenges we could not have imagined this year. We've challenged you during this time to cling to the one who gives peace, joy, and hope freely, because we know these things are in short supply these days. As you can imagine, the sudden change in circumstances has had an impact on our bottom line, too. Many of you are monthly supporters, and we are absolutely praying the Lord will continue to provide for you way above and beyond what you've committed to this ministry. I know others of you are just not sure you can count on having everything you need. Well, we're praying for you in your sense of need, too. I know that there are also those of you who know you're doing just fine in all practical ways, and yet you might still feel fear at what might be. Here's my challenge to you. If God has enabled you to support His kingdom purposes, lead the way. Whether it's at your church, with international missions, food banks, or through any of a dozen wonderful teaching and communications ministries like Compassion Radio, please give generously where you hear God's word preached, celebrated, and lived. You are uniquely qualified in times like these to have a profound impact on the kingdom all around the world because you can give. I urge you not to let a day go by without asking the Lord what He would have you to do, how He would have you stretch your faith when others are doubting theirs. They need you, friends. We need you. And we thank you for everything that you do and every prayer you offer on our behalf. We can't be here to encourage you each day without your vote of confidence. So give us that vote of confidence today by letting us know you're standing with us and that you're chasing the word together with us. Our toll-free number is 1-800-868-2478. Our mailing address is P.O. Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. And you can find us 24/7 at our website, compassionradio.com. God bless you, friends. We'll see you tomorrow.